have a prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every person in our audience today across the country or internationally or even locally right here in the name of Jesus. We pray for everyone that the anointing of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit will enlighten every eye, open every heart. Let every heart be receptive and let us not only just be hearers but doers of the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for the mighty Holy Spirit. Stretch forth your hand to heal. If there's anybody that's sick, that signs and wonders may be done. They'll know that God is listening as we preach the power of God, as they obey the word. The power of God will penetrate and go through all the areas. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here right now, whom we sense his wonderful presence. We thank you, Lord, for sending him the promise, Lord God, of the Savior and now the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for the goodness and mercy of every single day that we live and that you have given us everything we need. We give you praise, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone that in your kingdom right now that you have planned for them, that you have a plan for them, that this plan will not go aside, but it will be those even who put aside the plan, this plan will be revived this morning. This plan will be all put back into place, and they'll start off in the journey where they left off. We give you praise for every purpose and every plan and every dream fulfilled. We give you praise, Lord God. We thank you. We cannot praise you enough for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, let my preaching and teaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, let's go to our scriptures this morning. I want to start off with Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. This morning, I want to talk to you about completing your assignment, completing your call. You know, everybody has a call. Everybody has an assignment. And we want to talk about finishing your assignment, not just receiving the assignment, not just knowing about it, not just having a glimpse of it, but we want to make sure that you finish your assignment. Over here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, we're going to use that scripture this morning. I'm reading the New Living Translation, or New Living Bible. Colossians, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. There's apparently a young man there, or a man, a person. He says, say to Archippus, verse 17, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Did you know that God has predetermined a plan, a purpose, a design for your life, a design for ministry, a design for, you know, a dream, a vision for your life? He has planned some kind of assignment in your life. And if you do not know that you have an assignment, I pray that you'll understand this morning that you do have one, and there is a reason for your existence. And so for living in this world, in this planet called Earth, you know, we all need a purpose. We all need a place to be. You know, psychologists tells us one of the most endearing things that people have desire for, they want to have some significance. They want to have a purpose. A lot of times people die because they, you know, they die early, or they, if they don't do what God says, some of the people, they die early because they're doing the wrong thing and they're all stressed out and get sick and they don't have any peace and devils attacks them. And sometimes, you know, there's people who have no meaning in their life, and so they end their own lives. They take matters in their own hands, and they end their own life. And some go into, you know, they'll go into maybe addictions and never get out of it. And some get into addictions, and they know what they're supposed to do, but they still, you know, they're hung up on it. But the ones that are really in bad shape, they don't have any reason to live because they've lost their goal. Maybe they got into addictions and they lost their dream. The devil's lied to them. They said, God doesn't want you anymore. You've gone too far. And You know, you can't turn yourself around. And so we all need a purpose. We all need a place to be. You know, we all need a place to belong. We belong somewhere. You're not designed as a Christian to live at home, stay at home, just watch TV. There's more to living than just getting a paycheck and having a career and going to work and coming back and going on vacation and buying a skidoo and buying a new truck. There's more to life than just buying a new truck. Although those are good, those are side benefits of following and doing the things that God wants you. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart and that he'll give you richly all things to enjoy. It says in 1 Timothy over there, and I believe it's 6:17 or somewhere on there. And he'll give you everything to enjoy. And God has given us, whatever we need in life. And I was praying yesterday, I thank God, that I thank Jesus that he's given me everything we need in this life. He's given me everything I need for me to succeed. And I pray that you would get that revelation that God has given you everything that you need to be a success, no matter what it is. And so some people, they have no understanding that God has a place for them. And so we want to talk about carrying out our mission, carrying out the plan of God, carrying out whatever he's got planned for us. And so let's go and look at the scriptures further. Again, let's read that one more time. Colossians chapter 4:17. Say to Archippus, be sure, you see, God wants you to be sure to do this, to carry out the ministry the Lord has given you. And so we have to know that God has predetermined an assignment for us, and he has given us a purpose. And so you are to fulfill the plan that God has made you for. You know, you could look at all kinds of scriptures. Jeremiah, talks about in there 29:11, he said, I have a plan for you. And if you read over in the New Testament, Ephesians 2:10, if you looked at in the Amplified Bible, you're going to be blessed by it because God has predetermined a wonderful plan for your life, a plan of victory, a plan to have a fulfilling life and to have some meaning in your life. And there are other scriptures that talk about it, that God has a reason for your existence, you know. And so we'll look at the scriptures further. So evidently there was a person there, we read in our scripture, by the name of Archippus in the church at Colossae, and that needed to be exhorted. He needed to fulfill the ministry that God had planned for him to do. And the word ministry could mean anything, like a task or an assignment, a dream, a vision, a job, a work, a career, somewhere God has called you. You fit somewhere. I believe from time to time we all need to be encouraged to complete our tasks or complete our assignments that God has for us. So it's nice to receive encouragement. The other day, yesterday afternoon, as a matter of fact, one of our Christian people here sent me a message on my messenger. Said, you know, Pastor, thank you so much for bringing out the messages you have this year so far. I want to thank God that the message has been so meaningful for me, and it just blesses me. And I thank God for those kinds of messages. Thank God. We all need encouragement. I need encouragement. And so when you send me a message like that, I mean, I was just flying high. In fact, I flew so high that even the Toronto Maple Leafs won last night. It affected them over in Toronto. So thank God. Send me some more. And so thank God for that. So even if you don't need, you know, even if you don't know, you know, I want to let you know that there's an assignment for you. So it's nice to get encouragement. And if you didn't get any kind of encouragement, you know, we still need to strive on and find a way to encourage ourselves that God has an assignment for us. So, I don't always get encouragement, but I find a way to encourage myself. And so you have to learn that. One thing about being a mature Christian, don't be looking on Facebook for encouragement. A lot of people have been disappointed in Facebook. So I thank God when people say nice things and they say bad things too. And I have to, it's a water off a duck's back, but some people's going to like you. You know, there's a saying that there's no matter what you do, there's some people going to love you no matter what. But on the other hand, no matter what you do, No matter how accomplished you are, there's people that's not going to like you. And and so you cannot please everybody. And so, you know, and then there's other people who don't care. So just go ahead and carry on and find out what you're supposed to do. So we need to strive on the things of God. Let us help and encourage each other this morning to fulfill, and let's make it our task as well to encourage your brother and sister, encourage people, no matter who it is in the world. Let's be an encouragement out there. So notice over here in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, about encouraging each other. You know, we're somehow connected. Every one of us is connected in the body of Christ. What happens to one person affects all of us. And when we fail, that affects you in some way. So never be joyous when a Christian brother or sister is falling or failing. Pray for them, lift them up, and find a way. Even if you didn't like them, you pray for them anyway, because God, you know, wants you to do that. So notice over here, he said, I commend to you, I'm reading the New Living Translation. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon. Another scripture says a helper, a servant, a deacon in the church. You know, this woman, Phoebe. And Centria, verse 2, welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, especially to me. This is Paul. So this woman named Phoebe, she's a very encouraging person. She was able to go around helping other people. You know, we need people like that in our lives who are very, very helpful. They're not only helpful, you know, verbally and give you a good word every once in a while, encouragement, but you also, there's people that will just go ahead and put their hand to the plow and come around and be an encouragement to you. And they say, well, you know, James chapter 2, I believe, says, you know, you don't just go around and tell people that God bless you and you don't help them. So you need to go and do something along with the verbiage. Put some behavior behind it, action, and be a blessing to somebody. So it says, you know, it's very important that we continue for the sake of those that we are connected with in the body of Christ. People around us need us more and more, it seems, and to encourage. We need to encourage one another. People are counting on us that we're going to be there for them. We're gonna be the kind of people that we need to be. You know, people are counting on Pastor Roma and our staff to be helpful and to be the kind of people that we should be, and be on top of things and be happy all the time. And we're doing our best to being happy, because you know it's expected from everybody that I'm going to be in a good mood every day, that I'm going to be inspiring, and I'm going to be up on top of the mountain, hearing God every day. And, you know, just know exactly what I need to say. But it's not always like that. And so we have to be in tune. But also we need to be a person to encourage other people to be that way as well, and encourage them in the right way. So people around us need us to move on in the things of the Lord and work in the things of God. And people are counting on us. So helping others is a biblical. For instance, in Exodus, Moses required help from Aaron and Hur to hold up his hands with the staff of God held over his head as Joshua took his place fighting the Amalekites. You see that even though Moses had a great miracle ministry and had a great calling in his life as a deliverer, he didn't do all the work himself. He needed people around him to be helpful and encouragement to fulfill his calling. So we're all connected, interconnected together somewhere, because when I'm doing my calling, I'm helping you with your calling, and you're helping me with my calling. And I'm sure I've told people this for years, that God called me to have this mission in Thunder Bay to do this, and I had to find out what I was supposed to do and stick with it, even when it didn't look right, even when it didn't seem it was possible. You know, you go through just so many discouragements in life. You know, people come and go out of your life. They just leave you and sometimes in critical times, and you don't know, you don't have anywhere to go to, you know, for help, and money's scarce, and people stop giving, and there's so many discouragement. People come against you and try to get you out of ministry. Why would you want to get me out of ministry? I was trying to get out in the first place, but they try to get you out of ministry and say that you're not called, and you know that's got to be the devil. because I had a hard time coming into ministry to be actually, obedient to the call, because I didn't want to go to ministry. I want to be like everybody else. I want to just have my, my plan, and I want my money, and want my things, and my vacation, and my, stuff, and whatever. But I found myself becoming a missionary in my own city. And we started off with zero, my wife and I. Didn't have a thing. Didn't have a career. Didn't have any bank account. Didn't have nothing. Just went into the ministry, And some 30 years later, 33 years later, we're working, still working in ministry. And, thank God for progress. I mean, there's some progress in some areas. Some areas has been very slow progress. But God, He's very just God, and he's going to come out. The Bible says that when we serve God, there's benefits now, and there's benefits in the other life. And the Bible says, our works and whatever we do on earth follow us to the next life. And find the scripture that says that, because whatever you do, that's the only thing you take to the other side is your works, your good works, the things that you do for him. And I thank God for that, because everything I've done, people might not think it's significant. If I stayed on my assignment and did what I was doing, it's going to follow me to the next part of life. Praise God. Maybe I didn't get that extra shiny truck or that vacation, but something else is coming to me on the other side, I believe, in the name of Jesus. We're going to take some trips pretty soon, praise God. Anyway, so we talk about Moses. He had an assignment from God. You would think about this, a murderer living on the backside of the desert, and God chose him to be a deliverer. It's crazy. God can call you a washed up old sinner, and God can call you a man of God who relinquished a call, bring your head back into the ministry, and assign you a place that would change a nation, change a people. Think about Joseph. He was taken as a slave to Egypt, and all of a sudden he becomes second to the throne in Egypt. He becomes a great leader. God can do great things. He was in prison. He was unjustly put in prison, but he kept his heart right, and God brought him out of there and put him on the throne. Praise God. That can happen to you today, and you can finish your assignment no matter what happens, no matter what life throws your way, no matter what the devil is putting your way. You can come up on top. Praise God. Amen. Just have a pure heart and stop speaking negative, and you'll go on ahead. Praise God. Now, I want to read a story here, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 13, the New Living Translation, just to encourage you a little bit more here on that topic. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. As long as Moses held up his staff in his hand, the Israelites had advantage. Or it says Moses prevailed in the King James. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired, he could no longer hold him up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands were held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. You see, here we see Moses, these two young men, Aaron and Hur. Then we see Moses, or at least Joshua. He had the assignment to go with the army to go and fight the Amalekites. And Aaron and Hur, they were assistants to Moses, and they had to help him. See, everybody has a certain plan that God has assigned them. Everybody has a plan. It wasn't Joshua holding up the staff. God gave Moses a staff. And he had that same staff that did different miracles with it. And then he had the same staff over here that he parted, the sea and so on. And he had a miracle ministry. Because just because he had a miracle ministry didn't mean he could actually fight off the all the Amalekites himself, and he did all the praying and all that. No, we need each other. Everybody needs each other. It's not that we're the most important person because we happen to be the pastor. No, because we have an assignment. Not everybody can be the pastor in this church. In fact, if you were the pastor, you probably wouldn't like it, because there are things you don't know what goes on behind, you know, the scenes when you have to stick around when nobody's here and have to find the vision and keep the vision and keep going. There's so many things that come in the life of a person, you know, and you get attacked, your kids get attacked, your family gets attacked, but you still have to hang in discouragement and sometimes to honor, sometimes to dishonor, but you still stick in the ministry. You don't leave because you don't have any money. I've seen people leave in this city. They swore up and down publicly that God called them here, and next thing you know, they're gone. I've seen that time and time again over the years. And you see, that's because you need to know where you're supposed to be. If you're not sure 100%, when the tough times come, you're gonna quit and walk off. I remember Brother Hagin telling us in Bible school the very first week, we had 2 weeks of orientation, not just 2 days or whatever, but he had 2 weeks of orientation. And he said to us, the first thing you all have to find out is that, know the calling. Do you have a calling? Do you have a call? Did God call you? That's, you have to make 100% sure that God called you. And one of the other things you have to know is that, where did he call you to? What did he call you to? What kind of people did he call you with? And what is the assignment? Those are things that you find secondary. But first of all, know that you're called. You know, some people know they're called, but they're called everywhere. They want to do everything. You can't do everything. You know, you have to do what God called you to do. And sometimes the calling might not be as fashionable as you want to be. It might not be as prestigious as you want it to be. It might not be the most, thing that you'd like to do in life at times. But you see, I found scriptures that it says in there that God will actually, encourage you to love the call. He'll encourage you to love what you're doing. Encourage you to love the people you're supposed to be with. There's all kinds of stuff. So thank you, God, for that. So I just wanted to share that particular illustration there, that everyone there had a specific duty, a responsibility, a connection. There is an interconnectedness of all these people, what they're supposed to do. You know, as a pastor, I came here and started this church, and I knew I wasn't called alone. You know, I wanted to go in another direction. At the beginning, when I started college, I had my eyes on becoming a lawyer. And when I started reading all the textbooks and all the jargon, I thought, maybe this might not be for me. So I took political science in school. And, other things happened in my life where, you know, I thought maybe I'm going to change this direction a little bit. And so at that time when I was going to school, it was big with the hydroelectric dam projects and all the lawyers and all the people having meetings on television, and I was impressed with that. But, you know, if something's not real, it's not going to stick in you. But what I did have in my heart is to go and help somebody and change society. And I had two things in my heart, is to help people and to change the world. Pretty wide angle here. But I had to, really cut it right down to specifics. And that takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. Some of you that are young, you're not going to know right away. When we finished college, or just before we graduated and throw out our teaching and training at this college where we were at in the South, Pastor Hagin and all the staff Pastor Hagin told us this, if you don't have a calling, go and help somebody. You know, he would tell us to go and help somebody for free. Go work for a pastor for free for a couple of 2 years. That's four. But then go and help somebody. And God will show you what you should do. Put some time in. Go and work under somebody and work there and stay there until God shows you what to do. And so, all I wanted to do when I first came in, when I got came in the second time in the church, I ran away for a couple of years, and I got back with hearing the scripture verse, Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling are without repentance. God never changes his mind. And the devil told me that God was done with me. I was washed up, and I was just a young man, and the devil tricked me. You know, he'll trick you, and he'll make you believe lies. He'll deceive you that there's no place for you. And he'll make religion get you out of the church. And you got to watch religion. Religion will strangle you and steal the call from you. And get to the Bible. That's where it is. Get to the Bible. And it'll help you. So I have to find out specific tasks. Let's talk about specific tasks right now. Every case, God has a specific task for each one of us to do something, especially in the local church, in the setting here. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul mentions that we are interrelated parts of the local body and that God has a specific work for us to do, that we all have different abilities and functions and all for the glory of God, not for our own personal benefit. Every one of us has been given an assignment from God in this life. Whether we are full-time ministers, helps ministers, or part-time, or volunteers, as they call them in the world. We all need to find out what the Lord has planned for us to do in life. Every once in a while, we need to evaluate what the next task should be. Sometimes in the future, God will require us to give account of this particular assignment that God has given to us. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 declares, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then verse 14, Paul continues and states this to the Christians at Rome here. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. That's the Living Translation. Not one of us will be excused from giving account to God. We will all be judged according to our faithfulness and loyalty to God himself and loyalty to the persons or the people that he's called us to sit under and to be with in leadership. That's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17. God is going to require us to answer those reasons why we didn't stay where we're supposed to be. Now, listen to this. Number one, we have a specific job. You, my friend, my brother and sister, you have a specific job to do. Number two, on a practical scale, to cut it down, you know, in this world, it's a large world, but God also designed local church, not just a general church at large. You know, we have smart people that have PhDs running around. They think the whole world is a playground for God. They don't believe in local churches, but they want to come teach in local churches. Don't make any sense to me. They said, I don't believe I'm called to local church. Well, you know, they don't want to do anything in church because they have a degree. They don't want to do anything in the church because they have a special skill. No, we all could do other things as well besides sing songs and play the guitar. We could do other things. Work in the children's ministry. You could shake hands. You could work in the bookstore. Work at the children's ministry and youth ministry and the television ministry. There's all kinds of stuff. Administration. There's so many things that we can do. Or just shovel snow. I mean, that could be a good assignment for you. Praise God. All of us have something to do. So local church, we're all interrelated. So we all have some kind of, we're all cousins in a spiritual sense, that we're all interrelated somehow. We all have some kind of connection in part in the church. So we're all interrelated. We have a specific job. We're connected somehow to the local church, and we're all interrelated. Number three, we all have different abilities or functions. Number four. Number five, we do this for the glory of God. Number six, every one of us has been given an assignment. We all have an assignment in this life. Number seven, whether we're part-time ministers or full-time ministers, we all have a purpose. And every once in a while, we need to evaluate. And we need to be ready to give account for whatever God has called us to do. So we will stand before God. God has presented different ones in this city, pastors and churches, where they should be. They all say this, I don't want to be there. That's not a good pastor. No, you're not a good person either. So God has all kinds of stuff. You know, we might not be perfect, but God called me. I didn't disqualify myself because I know I wasn't perfect. I wouldn't call me, but God called me. And just like Moses said, they're not going to believe me. God says, I'm going to give you some miraculous supernatural anointing. They're going to believe you. And so when I first started ministry, God gave me a supernatural anointing. And I wondered about that. It was just tremendous anointing. And I hadn't gone back and did a ministry for a while, but there was such an anointing, and God showed me that's the way He called me. And so other people recognize it. And so God has called everyone. I've known people that are in their 70s. When I was starting out in ministry, they were, you know, maybe half my age. Some of them now are in their 70s, 80s. They still never joined the church, and yet they said there's no church in this town, no pastor in this town is good enough for me to be in that part of the church. They're going to have to answer to God. They've never done anything to this very day that is anything significant that I can see, except they're still at home. Don't be like that. Get involved somewhere and have a fulfilling existence. Some people, the devil's lied to them. If you join a church, people are going to abuse you and fight you. You know, if you're in the world, people are going to fight you and abuse you. So it's better to be in the church where you can grow together and learn to be brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. If we're going to give a good report, we must know that what ministry we're in, what giftings we have, and let's be sure one thing, that we're going to do the task, and then we're going to do it with excellence. Right from the beginning, when God calls you, God gives you the grace and the faith to complete every assignment. So I don't get up every morning and say, Lord, please give me the faith to finish my assignment. No, He's going to give me the faith. He's going to give me the ability. He's going to give me the supernatural grace to do whatever it is. I don't care how hard it is. I didn't have an anointing for TV ministry, and God called me to the TV ministry. I didn't have any knowledge. I still don't know a lot of things about TV ministry. And people looked at me in the city, friends of mine said, well, how do you do it? I said, I don't know. I've got people doing it for me. I don't have to know all those things. That's why you have ministry of helps. I don't know how to cook. We have, you know, different things in the city, outreaches where we have to cook. I don't cook a thing. I just eat it. So I have people who can cook and do different things. So thank God for that. So right from the beginning, God will give you the grace. That's the ability to do something that you can't do yourself. And He'll give you the faith. He'll give you the expectation and the belief that you could do this thing. And so it says here, ever since we were born, God had a calling for us and a gift for us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, Paul is talking to a young pastor, Timothy, a minister of God, a man of God called. He said, who has saved us, number one, and called us, number two, with a holy calling. That's a separation. Not according to our works. He didn't have to go to Bible school of some sorts, you know, to get the calling. No, God will put a supernatural anointing to you and then may send you to Bible school to help you hone that calling. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose. See, there's a purpose to His purpose and His grace, which was given to us in Christ before the time began. In other words, before time began, before He created everything, God already had an assignment for you. There is a purpose for your existence. There is a calling for you. There is a deliverance for you. There is a purpose for you. There is a specific task that He's called you to do. God had planned for your life with all the essentials for completing the assignment that He's given you. So none of us could say, I didn't have enough money, Lord, to fulfill my call. I didn't have enough education. I didn't have enough people to help me. I didn't have enough strength. None of us can stand before God and say this, you know, because it's a supernatural calling. We cannot call ourselves. We cannot anoint ourselves. We cannot give ourselves the grace of God. We cannot give ourselves the faith of God. God puts all that and supplies us with everything we need. Now listen to me, whoever you are listening. God has everything for you to finish the call. Pick up the baton. Pick up that calling. Write to me today. No, I'm just kidding. No, you could do it today. You could finish the calling. I'm telling you the truth today. This is a God truth today. You can finish the call. And it might be big, might not be possible, but God has a calling for you to finish your assignment today. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be your cheerleader. I don't care how rugged you are and how you failed so many times. You know, it's amazing. I look at my own life. how many times I failed, and I thought that was it. But God still had a calling. So he has a calling for you. Now let's go over here. Romans chapter 3. The Bible says that God has given us grace and faith. Everybody say grace and faith. Say that to yourself. Say grace and faith. Say I have faith. Say I have grace. Say I have faith. I have grace to fulfill the call. Two things. Paul is talking about Romans 12. Don't forget, he's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about, in that chapter 12, he's talking about serving God in chapter 12. That's what he's talking about, amongst many things, but he's talking about serving God, that God will give you faith and grace, and that we all have a place, that we're all multi-faceted group of people, and God's given us a task. Now, look at this. I'm going to read the Good News Bible so that some of you need some good news this morning. The Good News Bible says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. So then, my brothers and sisters, because God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourself a living sacrifice to God. So that's the first thing you need to do. God, I'm here, dedicated to his service and pleasing him. This is true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to him and perfect. And because God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith God has given you. And we have many parts in one body, and all these parts have different functions. He's talking about in there that God has put us into a place, and he's also given us a grace to function in that area. He's given us the faith. God has given me the belief that I'm supposed to be a pastor. You see, I didn't have 20 scriptures to show me, Roma, you're called to be a pastor. No, one day God dropped it inside of me, bang, put it inside of me, just like the gift of faith. Same thing, that's how it works. Puts it in your heart, bang, you're supposed to be called. And I know there's certain people in this city that God's called them to be here with me, to work with me. Because I wasn't called alone. God's called different ones. You know, we should have, in our church, we shouldn't have a space in this room, space in our auditorium. There should be more and more people coming in with gifts, calling, and different things that they present to God at the local fellowship as a perfect worship to God. Now, it says here, Romans 4:7, the Amplified Bible, he said, yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us. So God has given us grace, undeserved favor, each one of us, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich, abundant gift. So God has gifted us, graced us with a gift to serve him. Every one of us has that grace. You know, some people can be so friendly no matter what's happening around them. That's the graciousness of God on them to be so nice. And they have a special calling to be, helping people, to cheer people up. There's a ministry called cheerfulness. You need that. We need that in the church today. So sign up today. We need you. We need the gift of cheerfulness, especially in a cold morning. We need people to smile and be nice to people. And we all have a place. Man, I want that grace today. So how many people can say they know exactly what their purpose in life is or have a little bit of an inclination to it right now? The Bible says we all have, one day we must give account to God. Now, just because once you know your calling, once you know you're supposed to be in a certain church or ministry or work with certain people, God will reveal to you who you should work with and who you're connected with. But then the devil will come around and he'll try to put a wedge between you and that person or that ministry or something. Get your mind off different things. Get your especially if you haven't developed yourself and if you have selfish problems and if you're self-seeking, the devil can work with that and cause a lot of friction and trouble in your life. And you're next thing you know, you're saying that guy's in the way. You know, your leader is in the way of your calling. Maybe you should kill him or something. Get rid of them. So, but no, the devil, He'll come and he'll try to destroy you and the ministry. He'll destroy the calling. You'll have to fight many kind of giants in life that may be hindrance to you. And there's been many giants in history in terms of the Israelites, that there's been giants in the land preventing them from going on to the things of God. Just like us, there'll be giant things that we can't fight off on our own. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel fought off giants in the Promised Land before they were able to enjoy some peace. See, there is a Promised Land. The Promised Land is that sweet spot, that place where God has called you. But then there's giants there. There's giants that will prevent you from serving in the church, serving in a ministry, serving wherever. And there'll be maybe a giant of resentment, just giant of jealousy, whatever it is. It's going to come there and try to get you off course. And maybe get you off course for 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, whatever it is. And he'll keep you away from that. If you're not willing to face it, you're not going to finish the call. So, before we can have peace, we must fight off these giants that try to hinder us and the call of God on our life or the purpose in life. Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. That word fight means you have an enemy. It means an opponent. It gives us this word gives us in the mind, tells us that there is an opponent, like a wrestler or somebody, a picture of somebody grabbing and fighting, wrestling with you. That's the word fight. Argon, it means opponent. It means enemy. So you have enemies in your life that will try to stop you from completing whatever task God has called you to do. And his last letter here, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. So thank God that we can keep the faith at the end of our lives. You know, I'm fully convinced right now. I can say to myself, Lord, you know, when I leave this world, my testimony is that Roma died in a good old age, full of riches and wisdom. Praise God. Amen? That should be your testimony too. That the Bible says that with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. That's what Psalm 90 verse 16 says. Psalm 89 says in there that God will, in my old age, I will be fruitful in this life. Praise God. And I want to give you a bunch of scriptures later on. I'm going to show you that we all should live long and strong and finish the call. Praise God. No matter what your situation is. So your hindrances might not be necessarily similar to mine or what I have, but it could be a different situation. We all have our own battles and monkeys to fight. One might have this thing, might not have another one, and you might look at somebody else and say, how could he quit the ministry just because of that? Well, we'll look at your own life. Why did you quit the ministry? Why did you stop because of that? So there's different things people have trouble with. Other people have one thing. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's something else. The devil is going to try to stop you from fulfilling your calling. So we all have battles, but no matter what we have, we can overcome them. We all have weaknesses. The enemy knows it. And he'll do his best to stop you and hinder you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. That's the New Living Translation. So we have a job to do, and that is strip off the things that slows you down. You know, you need to be able to, it gives you a picture of someone who's running. You can't run with a bunch of stuff on, and a bunch of equipment. You got to strip off stuff and run this race that's set before you. God has given us, the King James says that God has given every person a race. You run your own race. Don't follow somebody else's race. Do your own, run your own race. Everybody else is trying to find, you know, what his race is, and I'm going to run his race, and you're going to run my race. No, I'm going to run my own race. You have your own calling. I have my own calling. And don't compare your calling with somebody else. And that's a lot of trouble with people. They compare their calling and they said, this looks good. Well, you know, maybe someone looks at you and say, you have a good calling. Be where you should be. And God will add on to you as you go along the way. Praise God. Some things in life are not sinful, but they are heavy activities that eat up most of your time or our time, and they become a hindrance. They could be activities, legitimate activities, and even people who just take up all our time. There's some people just want to eat up your time. They call you during the day, and they'll take up all your time. If you're not careful, you're not going to finish your job. And so you have to know what's going to steal your time. Like, you know, watching the Boston Bruins every Wednesday night is taking up your time. Or the Leafs, whoever. So if that's going to just take your time, you got to shut off the TV and finish your assignment, your Bible assignment, whatever it is. So sins in one area can be easily, we can easily identify sins. And if we're honest with them, we need to deal with it and move on in the things of God. So in the book of Mark, the Lord gave us different areas that could be difficult. You know, he gives us different things in the book of Mark that can hinder people. One of them is the pleasures of life. Sometimes it's hard, difficult times. Could be one thing or the other. It could be all kinds of stuff that will stop you. So what is the plan of God? The plan of God, in a very small nutshell, what is the plan of God? The plan of God is the will and purpose and whatever task he's given you in this life. So it's a purpose for your existence here on earth. Many are searching the proverbial question of their human existence. Why am I here? Why am I here anyway? Why do I exist? So the reason is so simple. The reason for your existence is to serve God. That's the main reason. There's nothing else to look for, is that you serve God. Serve out your purpose to serve God. That's the main reason. Other things are just extra. All the other things are just extra. And find out what God wants you to do. You know, we tell little children, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's not the question to ask anybody. You need to ask them, what does God want you to do in life? That's what we should ask our children. What does God want you to do in life? Train them to think that way. And so they'll find out soon enough. So the scripture answers these kinds of questions. Romans 4:7 says, we do not live for ourselves or die to ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. If we die, is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's the New Living Translation, Romans 4:7. And then the prophet Jeremiah foretold us in the Old Testament that God has a very specific plan for each one of us has an awesome outcome. Jeremiah 29:11 says that the plan of God is a reason for our very own existence. God says, I have a plan for you, a mighty good plan, and you know, you need to find out what it is today. Look in your heart and see what God has put in here. God has specific things for us to do. Now, the Bible mentions there are several general ways. There's a general will for us in this life, and every one of us needs to know, first of all, we need to come to Christ. That's the most important thing. Everyone, generally speaking, in the world, everybody needs to come to Jesus, number one. If you miss that, you're going to miss everything else. Number one is to know you come to God through Jesus. That's the number one thing. Be born again. Number two, that we all should walk with God every day. Number two, that's the general will. The general will is we need to come to God through Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to walk with God and pray every day. Have close fellowship with God every day. That's God's will for you, is to get close to him every day. Number two, that we need to have fellowship with one another. In other words, you ain't supposed to be alone. Not just beside your wife or husband, but there's other people beside you. There's some people, you have to cut them off with a knife or whatever to get them apart from the husband. Thank God that you're close together, but there are other people that should be in your life besides your husband and your wife. There's the church. There's other people. Now you can do it together. So number two is that we should have fellowship with one another. That's God's will, is that you have fellowship with other believers. And number four, that we all need to walk in forgiveness and love every single day. That God's will for you is to love everybody and to forgive everybody, no matter what they've done to you, to walk in forgiveness. There's something else. Number five, God's will is for you to be protected from all harm. God will protect you from all harm. So understand that God will protect you. If he's called you, he's going to protect you. Don't be afraid of COVID or anything else. Learn all those things that they tell you to do for safety, but also understand that God has a protection over your life. There's a shield. We learned that all summer. We learned that God puts a shield on his people. He puts a heavy shield over us as we walk this world. No sickness can penetrate. No disease can penetrate us. Keep it on. What keeps it off is walking in unforgiveness, walking out of love. We'll take the shield off. Learn to stay protected. Now, number six, that God will meet every one of our needs. God will meet everything that, whatever you need, whatever kind of prosperity you need in life. You need a house. If God called you to Thunder Bay to come to Bible school here, he'll provide a place for you. He'll provide a job for you. He'll provide money for you. He'll provide the means for you. He'll provide everything. See, you have to understand that you're not alone trying to go to school. You're not alone to try to find out what the will of God. God has put different people in this world to help you get to where you're supposed to be. That's called the grace of God. He'll help you no matter what it is. See, you know, we needed this property over here. You know, we were stuck for 18 years walking around in the desert over in Secor Street. For 18 years. I said, I'm not moving until I get all the money in place. Every time somebody came to town, some of my friends, hey, Roma, you still here? You ought to be moving. I said, I ain't moving nothing. Give me the money. Show me the money. I'll move. I had no property. I'm walking down over here one night. The Lord said, I said to the Lord, Lord, I wanted that property. You knew I wanted that property before that other church bought it. The Lord says, well, you can have it. What? He said, you could have it today. I said, yeah. So I went over to, I said, okay, I receive it by faith. So I went over to a prayer meeting. The pastor said, I'm selling my building. I said, I believe I'll buy it. I bought it. So we bought the building. That's exactly how it went. And so we bought the building. It's 6 acres. And we got lots of room. And we fulfill all the room. And we needed workers. I said, Lord, I need somebody that loves ministry, works like me and my wife, just like me, with better skills in this different area. And God sent this young couple from the United States, from Newfoundland. I said, I need a chum to help me around, drive me around town. He sent a guy from Saskatchewan. And he brings me coffee once in a while. Carries my suitcase. Brings me chicken. And so, you know, God brings people in your life. And so we need a whole pile of people. We need musicians. We need extra singers. We need technical people. We need that today. We need a whole pile of people. We need the editors. Besides, what we got an editor, a couple of people working. Camera people, we need all kinds of people. So there is a place for you to fit here at Faith City Church. We're going to be building more buildings on the property. We're going to build a women's center. We're going to build a Bible school complex. There's a whole pile of stuff we're doing. Come on over. You know, before we had this building, you know, we were on television. And we needed help. And this young man saw our television show. He said, man, is that in town, this Faith City Church? Is that in town? He said, I'm going to go check it out. So he came out and checked it over Secor Street. He said, I'm going to make this home my home church. A young man, been in church most of his life, belonged to a denominational church, but God called him here. He said, this is where I'm supposed to be. He came in. I didn't know he was a builder, a contractor. He said, Pastor, I'm going to help you build that church. I'm going to help you build that. So he came and helped me build this church. So God brings people in the ministry. I had a man, he came here, and he issued me an extra number of thousands of dollars to get started. Writes me a large check. Thank God for people who bring in, he said, you know, first of all, this man says, God called me to fund the church. Well, I believe it. Come on in. Write me a large check and said, here it is. No matter what it is, God has a place for you. And I'm just getting started in this. I'm not even halfway through my message, but I believe he gave you enough to get started. And God wants you to finish your course. He wants you to finish what you're supposed to do. I'll just give you some general things there. Two ways you need to look in the Bible for the general will of God, find out what God wants you to do, match it up with your life, and start living that way. Read the Bible and match it up. If it says forgive, you forgive. If he says to give, you give. That's God's will. If he says to pray, you pray. If he says to join, join. If he says go, go. Whatever it is God showed you to do in the Bible, do it. And number two, the specific will, that's where you need to get with the God and get with the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, and God will bring out of your spirit the specific plan of God, what he wants you to do. He'll show you. And no one else can show you that except God himself. He'll show you specifically, and he'll bring people around you to say, yeah, that sounds like God. Or some people say, you're out of your rocker. That's not God. It's got to be a pizza dream. No? Well, God will show you something. And somebody else around there, I'll show you a scripture in there that says, you know, other people will know for sure that you're in the plan of God. So do that right away. Now, finish what God has given you. There's no options to it. You have to finish what God's called you to do. So some will be assigned full-time in ministry, in a calling in the church somewhere. There'll be those who be assigned closely to someone who serves full-time. Like for myself, you know, God called me to a specific calling to be the head pastor, lead pastor. God will send other pastors along. God will send other leaders along. God will send other people along in the church to help with that ministry. And everybody is going to be happy because of it. No one's going to try to usurp my authority and say, yeah, let's get rid of him and let's take over the ministry. Well, that's not God. He doesn't overthrow things. So you will be assigned to people and places. And so you'll be assigned to help other people along the way, and they'll be helping you along the way. So don't rush it. So God has a plan for you. So we'll finish off this message another time. And I want to show you one more scripture, and we're going to close over here because we're assigned to somebody. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31, verse 6. The scripture declares that Moses was first called, and then God summoned a man called Bezalel who would help him in his appointment. God still assigned more workers who would serve as assistants to Moses. We see that in Exodus 31, verse 1 to 6. But whatever the task may be, the work, just as Archippus was commanded to do, he was to finish his task. No matter what work we may be, what it entails, like Paul, we need to say whatever it costs. I'll do not count my life dear to myself, but that I may finish my course with joy. Acts 20 and 24. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. We need to do that. We need to finish our course. We need to know that you're not called alone. If God called you to start a ministry, part of the ministry here in this church, to help me finish what I'm supposed to do. We got a bunch of things we need to do in this ministry. It's not just a television ministry. It's not a Bible college ministry. There's more stuff to do here. There is things that we need to do in this ministry that's going to help this city and help this region and help Canada fulfill what God calls to do. Thank God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray wherever you are in the name of Jesus. God has called you right now. I know that God has called you. Let's go ahead and pray. Bow your head right now. Say, God, I thank you that you placed a call in my life. Say that. Say, God, I thank you that you placed a call in my life. I thank you for the grace, the gift for my assignment. I also thank you for the faith and the belief that I can do the job. I believe in myself because I believe in you. I thank you, Jesus, that I will follow your plan, your purpose, and your will. And everything will work out fine. I will not be afraid because your protection is upon my life. I thank you for all the resources and all the things that I need to complete this task. And one day I will say to you, Jesus, I did my task. I finished the course. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless every one of you. If you have not received Jesus, ask Jesus to come in your life today. Say, Jesus, come in my life. Forgive my sins. I want you to come in my life. Save me from my sins. And he'll be your Savior. God bless you. Until next time, see you next Wednesday. Some of you guys will see you tonight. God bless you. Amen.